Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast. My name is Erica, and I'm the creator of Bring Your Own Kombucha, which, as you know, is both a podcast and a blog, where we talk all about health and wellness-related topics. This week's episode, I interview Jessica DeFino. She's a creative of Illume. And she's actually from my hometown, but she currently lives in California in Joshua Tree. And after struggling with acne and dermatitis for years and years and years and going to doctors trying to heal her skin, she finally took matters into her own hands and was able to heal her skin naturally. If you head over to my podcast notes, you'll see her before and after pictures, which are incredible. They really, truly are mind-blowing. So definitely head over there and take a look at them. So thereafter, she founded Illume, which is basically a content platform and skincare line focused on natural, nourishing ingredients and holistic wellness. So this is definitely one of those episodes where you get so much information. She is just like a wealth of info. She knows exactly what she's talking about. She went through so much, and now she could tell you everything there is to know about skin from the inside out. She's a great resource. So if you do have any skin issues, you can reach out to her. She's so approachable. She's so kind. And let's jump into the episode because I'm really excited for you guys to hear her. Hi, everyone, and before we jump into today's podcast episode, I just want to give a big shout out to Pink Tomato Skincare. So let me preface this with I'm actually recording this ad while I'm breastfeeding, so you might hear little Elizabeth in the background. But yeah, so let's talk about Pink Tomato Skincare. And the reason I want to bring them up is because I stumbled upon them at a health and wellness event. And upon like looking further into the company, I found out that they are actually all organic. They don't test on animals. They are vegan. They use natural aromas. And they also use eco packaging, which I feel like is very hard to find. So I was able to connect with the owner, Gina, who is a badass mama. She runs this business and raises her little boy, and he is just absolutely adorable. Definitely head over to her Instagram at Pink Tomato Skincare. I use a lot of her products. I would say that my favorite product of hers, and you probably see me wearing this a lot on Instagram, is her face mask. She has this pink face mask that is basically a rejuvenating cold facial, and you can put it in the freezer or in the fridge, whichever you prefer. I always put it in the freezer, and then you wear it for about like 15 minutes after you apply your favorite face cream, and it really tightens up your skin. It soothes your skin. It reduces the appearance of wrinkles. It reduces the size of pores, which is really ideal for basically all types of skin types. Furthermore, it actually fights acne, and it acts as acupuncture meridian that promotes circulation, helping, you know, rejuvenate the skin. So there's a lot of benefits to that one. And then my second favorite product is actually, you can use it for babies as well, but I use this prior to having Lizzie. It's called a konjac sponge. And Gina actually creates a couple different varieties, but for the most part, all three varieties are 100% natural. They're made without preservatives. They're made without artificial coloring, without chemical additives, no artificial chemicals. It's 100% biodegradable. And basically the purpose of a konjac sponge is that it starts out dry and it becomes hard. And then when you soak the sponge in water, you squeeze it and use it all over your body and face with circular motions, and it gently balances the pH of your skin. And you know that it's the real deal when it was actually created for babies, but because of the amazing qualities of it, adults started using it and seeing their positive effects. So I encourage you all to head over to www.pinktomatoskincare.com and try out Gina's product. She's also on Instagram and Facebook. And again, you can just find her at Pink Tomato Skincare. And for a sweet discount, you can use BYOK18, and make sure the BYOK is capitalized. And Gina will hook you up with, just a sweet discount for being a listener of the BYOK podcast. So head over there and check her out. Hi, Jessica, and welcome to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So for those of you listening, Jessica is the creator of Illume. And why don't you just give us a brief background about yourself?
Sure. So I'm a writer, and about 6 months ago, I decided to combine my love for writing with my experience in natural skincare and healing my own skin from some pretty debilitating skin conditions, and launch Illume, which is a content platform all about natural skincare, healing your skin naturally with a skin, body, and soul approach. And recently, we also started making products, so it's a product line as well.
How exciting. And you're actually based in California, but coincidentally, you're from my hometown of Thayerville. Like, what are the odds?
I was so excited when I found that out, because you normally don't meet a lot of people from Thayerville, New Jersey. So it was pretty funny to find out that even though we are across the country now, we both came from good old Thayerville. But yes, now I'm in California. I'm based in Joshua Tree.
Very cool. I love that. Me and my husband, who's actually also was born and raised in Thayerville, we went to San Diego and LA in June. And we just loved it there. We were like, we need to figure out a way where we can, like, transfer our jobs and move out to California. So I totally get why you did it.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Especially during the winters. It's so nice to not have to deal with those East Coast winters anymore.
Oh, it's the worst. Like, shoveling snow, and you have to, like, warm up your car for half an hour before you have to leave for work because, you know, there's ice on your windshield. Yeah, I could totally do without that. So let's jump into the good stuff. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your wellness journey and, you know, just kind of like the problems you had with your skin early on?
Sure. So I always kind of say that vanity was my entry point to wellness. I really was never a healthy person. You know, I didn't really exercise. Most mornings I would have like cake or Sour Patch Kids for breakfast. I barely drank water. It was like Diet Cokes all the time. And, you know, in my late teens, early 20s, that was kind of fine. I didn't really notice any, you know, bad side effects to that kind of lifestyle. But then once I hit my mid-20s, about 3 or 4 years ago, I started developing really bad skin issues. Acne, dermatitis. Dermatitis is basically like a catch-all phrase that dermatologists will use. That means we don't know what's wrong with you. Your skin is irritated, but we're not quite sure why. So I tried everything. I took all of the pills, antibiotics, steroids, topical creams that the dermatologists were prescribing me, and things would help for a little bit, but ultimately leave my skin worse than when I had started the treatment. And it was years of kind of going back and forth before I decided to kind of take my health into my own hands and really start researching skincare and natural remedies and the connection between gut health and our diet and how that shows up on the skin. And even the relationship between our soul and how, you know, living our best lives on a soul level can kind of affect our physical reality and how that tied into skincare. And after about a year of experimenting, I realized I had come up with this sort of skin, body, and soul approach that ultimately led me to feeling the best I've ever felt in my body and having the best skin of my life, all thanks to completely natural remedies that, you know, dermatologists and regular doctors were really not talking about at the time.
So what were these doctors prescribing you, or like what were their remedies as opposed to what you have found to work for your skin?
Mm-hmm. So I will say that in high school, I had really bad acne and I was going to a dermatologist and I ended up going on Accutane, which I don't even think they prescribe anymore. It might be under a different name because it's so powerful and can have so many terrible side effects. But in high school, the Accutane kind of knocked the acne out of my system for a few years. Later on, it came back with a vengeance. And that's kind of the cycle of most dermatology cures or prescriptions. You know, it'll knock it out for a while, but eventually your problems will come back. So I did Accutane early on in my life. And then when I developed dermatitis, which basically presented as these big red peeling rashes around both of my eyes and my mouth and my nose. The first line of defense was antibiotics. At the time, I didn't really know all of the adverse effects that antibiotics could have on your body, so I went with it. I took the antibiotics for a little while, they would work, but again, the skin issue would come back and back and back. The big thing that dermatologists were prescribing for me was a steroid topical cream. And I had seen about three different dermatologists over the course of 2 years, either from, you know, wanting to get a second opinion or at one point my insurance changed, so I had to change doctors. And they all prescribed me this steroid cream. And I was amazed with how well it worked. And I kind of became addicted to it. It would take these crazy rashes on my face down in a matter of hours and my skin would look perfect. It would be amazing. And so I used that consistently for a few months and then I started noticing the rash was popping up elsewhere. You know, now it wasn't just my eyes, it was around my mouth, it was around my nose. And I took the steroid cream and I dabbed it everywhere. What I later learned is that steroids are really only supposed to be a temporary solution and my dermatologists were not keeping up with that line of thought. And over time, steroids can make your skin even worse. They're really aggravating to your skin. And when it gets to that point, your skin becomes immune to the steroids. So I got to a point where the dermatitis was the worst it has ever been. And I was immune to steroids, which is the strongest prescription they could possibly give me. So really what happened was there was nowhere else to turn from a dermatologist point of view, because I had already just used the strongest cure and my body got too used to it. So from there, it was really only natural remedies that were left to me. And luckily they worked.
That's incredibly scary that your skin was immune to these, yes, you know, chemicals and steroids that, you know, are strong and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way.
too strong. I think that's something that doctors don't really tell you. I mean, I don't know if you've had this experience at all, but I find for me, as a woman especially, I have to pry information out of Western doctors and dermatologists. You know, it's a really quick in and out appointment, and they take a look at you, and they hand you a prescription, and they don't really talk you through why they're giving you that prescription or how to properly use it or possible side effects or here's what to do if so-and-so happens. So I've just had a really hard time getting the right information out of my doctors, which unfortunately led me to just not trust their opinion at all and kind of find my own way.
I actually totally agree with you. And while I don't oppose Western medicine like 100%, I do find that similar situation always popping up. Like every time I go to the doctor, even just for my OBGYN when I, you know, because I'm pregnant, you know, every appointment I go to, I'm like, oh, what is this test for? What is that blood test for? And they, like, I don't know, to me that should be something like, okay, I'm sending you to this ultrasound for this reason. Like I actually just got prescribed a third ultrasound last month. And typically you only go for two. And I had no clue why. I left the office and I was like, wait a minute. Why do I have this script? Like, I clearly need to call the doctor back and ask them. So I'm totally on board with you about that. I do feel like it's all about the in and out appointment. And they don't want to talk you through it. As opposed to, you know, more holistic practitioners who are like, let me teach you about how this heals your body.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that education is key because ultimately when you're seeing a doctor or dermatologist, as skilled as they might be, they're viewing your body and what you're going in for through the lens of, you know, a 5-minute consultation, a 10-minute consultation. And I really think that you know your body best. So it's amazing to be able to work with a holistic healer or a Western doctor who will really help educate you and listen to what's actually going on in your body, because I do believe that when it comes to you and what you're going through, you are the best doctor.
So what kind of products did you find worked for your body? I know that you have your own skincare line. And I'm presuming that's actually the product that you found to help your skin the most. So can you tell us a little bit about them?
Sure. So actually when I decided to go natural, I read the book Skin Cleanse by Adina Grigori, and it kind of walks you through how to detox your skin from traditional kind of skincare treatments or drugstore products or chemical-filled luxury products. And the first thing I did was completely cut out all products from my routine, like the book suggested, for 5 days. And it's really hard, especially if you have bad skin and you're like, I need moisturizer, I need to cover this with makeup, which was the case for me. But I had reached a tipping point where I was like, okay, I'll try it. And for 5 days, I cut everything out of my routine. I cleansed my face with water in the morning and at night, but other than that, it was it. And the first few days were pretty rough, but on probably day 3 or 4, I started seeing a massive difference, and it made me realize, wow, these products may have been helping temporarily, or they may have been helping in the moment, but long term, they're not doing much for my skin. They're not letting my skin breathe and heal itself naturally.
So do you think that was almost like a detox for your skin?
I think so. I think once we take products out of the equation, and I don't advocate for never using a skincare product in your life, but I do think it's really beneficial for the skin to get a break and to start using its natural healing functions the way that they were intended. You know, the skin cleanses itself, it moisturizes itself, it even exfoliates itself overnight. Like, these are functions that our skin knows how to do. And then when we clog our skin up with, you know, the toner, the serum, the moisturizer, the face oil, the sleeping mask, like so many layers of products, it really impedes our skin's natural functions. So I noticed that when I took products out of my routine completely, my skin started getting back to that place where it could heal itself. And then, of course, I started incorporating some natural products in just to give it a little boost of help. And the products that I started with were Manuka honey, which I used as a cleanser, apple cider vinegar, which I used as a toner and exfoliator, and coconut oil, which I used as my moisturizer. And for probably about 2 months, those three products were all I used. And the difference was literally day and night. I went from like calling out of work because my skin was so bad to going into work and people being like, oh my God, what are you doing? You're so glowy. And it was literally these three products that seemed so simple, all of which I already had in my house, like in my pantry, because I used them for cooking or whatnot. But when I used them on my face, the difference was insane.
That's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and it really just opened my mind to, you know, what other natural products are out there that I could maybe use to target specific skin issues, and that's kind of how the whole journey to make my own products started.
So what products do you currently offer that you use, like, on the daily?
So my first product that I started making is our Moonwater Magic Tea Tree Face Mist. And tea tree oil, after I progressed on from those three base products, tea tree oil was the thing that I found to be the most helpful in combating my dermatitis. Every once in a while, I would still get outbreaks, and I found that when I sprayed a tea tree oil and water mist on my face, the dermatitis would clear up within hours. So that's something that I myself use every day. So when I started toying with the idea of making products, I decided to make that our first offering, since it's helped me so much personally, and I know that it can help other people. And it's a really simple formula. Like, you can make it at home. It's honestly just 50 milliliters of water in a spray bottle with 5 or 6 drops of tea tree oil, essential oil. And tea tree is really potent. It kind of cleans out the sebaceous glands and balances your oil production. So it will remove excess oil from your skin surface, which, you know, is the basis of clogged pores and acne and dermatitis. So I found it to be majorly helpful. And that's the main product that we offer. And then I recently branched out into face oils. So I started using jojoba oil instead of coconut oil probably about 6 months ago, because coconut oil over time can actually clog your pores a little bit if you use it too much. And jojoba oil is a natural oil that is non-comedogenic, won't clog your pores, and it actually mimics the skin's natural sebum production. So if you have dry skin or oily skin, jojoba will regulate the oil production perfectly. Like, if your skin is dry, it acts as the much needed moisturizer. If your skin is oily, putting jojoba on your face actually sends a signal to your sebaceous glands to stop overproducing. So it's really gentle, mild. The skin recognizes it as something that's natural, as it's already part of the skin's function. And so I have been infusing my own face oil mixtures with jojoba oil as a base. And then with that, I will add in different herbs, plants, and flowers based on their different healing properties, and infuse them into jojoba as a carrier oil. So the two products that have come out of that are my rosebud and frankincense luminous overnight oil and my sage and violet morning ritual skin soothing oil.
I love that. I'm like obsessed with oils. I love waking, like, I put oil on my face at night.
Yes.
And I love waking up to how, like, baby soft it is, and it's just amazing.
I know, it's so funny to think that, like, a couple of years ago, oil was, like, enemy number one. Like, you would never put oil on your face, and now they're such a part of the, like, skincare zeitgeist. I love them.
100%. And, like, I also feel like we were taught when we were younger, especially when you had, like, that typical teenage acne, like, no, you don't put more oil on top of your oily skin. Meanwhile, who knew that if you were doing oil cleansing and things like that, that would actually benefit your oily skin?
Exactly. You know what? There are so many skincare myths like that out there that have been perpetuated because, I mean, a lot of dermatology is actually based on older studies that haven't been tested lately, or were never actually confirmed with a second test case. Like, for example, up until only maybe 10 years ago, dermatologists were taught that there is no link between diet and skin health. And it was based on this study done, I think it was either in like the 1940s or the 1970s, that just had never been replicated. It was one study with a really small test group, and then that became like written into the dermatology textbooks. Now obviously we know that the health of your body totally determines the health of your skin, but there are still a few myths lingering out there, similar to the like no oil myth.
That's crazy. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, do you have like a go-to skin routine, or does it change just now that you like really have your skin, I would say, like under control and at like where you want it to be?
Yeah, I would say my skin is definitely more under control than it has been in the past. But what I notice now is that I can completely see what I eat and how I exercise and how I treat my body show up on my skin. So if I decide to have like a cheat week or I go on vacation or something like that, my skin issues will flare up again. So I definitely have, you know, a skincare routine for when my skin is behaving and then a different skincare routine for when certain issues pop up. The one thing that stays consistent is that I always use my tea tree oil toner. That's just so helpful for my particular skin, and it really helps keep acne at bay. That's consistent always. Depending on how my skin is, I will usually use Manuka honey still as my cleanser. Or if my skin needs a little something a little bit harsher, I use an oil cleanser first to get rid of any, you know, lingering makeup or debris, and then I'll go in with a clay cleanser. I really like Sunday Riley's ceramic slip foaming cleanser. I find that to be really nice for my skin when it's a little bit acne prone or extra oily. And then currently I have cut out all serums and moisturizers from my routine, and I'm just doing a three-step cleanser, toner, and oil. So in the mornings, I'll use the sage and violet morning ritual oil, and it's really mild. It sinks into the skin really quickly. I can put makeup on top of it if I want to. And then at night after toning, I use the rosebud and frankincense overnight oil, which I love because frankincense is so good for brightening up the skin if you have scars or hyperpigmentation. And since I have had problem skin for so long, my main skin issue right now is the scarring that's left over. So the frankincense overnight oil is really helping me to brighten it up.
So interesting. I love that you are really able to, you know, kind of modify your skin routine based upon how you are intuitively like feeling your skin. So from that angle, you also talk a little bit about how you believe that, you know, on a soul level, that also can affect skin issues. So can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes, definitely. So when my dermatitis was at its worst, you know, big rashes over both of my eyes, I was trying anything and everything to get rid of it. And it really opened me up to some alternative methods of healing, like energy healing. So I ended up going to this Tibetan healer who told me that the rash around my eyes was suppressed creativity and that I wasn't using my voice and that I was, you know, feeling meek and not speaking up, and that's why this rash was presenting. And at the time, it really clicked. You know, I had always been a singer, a musician, a songwriter, and I had completely been denying that part of myself. And somewhere along the line, my confidence and my love of performing just, I kind of, you know, folded into myself and I kept that part hidden. And the minute the healer said this to me, I said, you know what? I haven't been using my voice. I haven't been expressing myself. I haven't been being creative. I've been hiding in a hole because I'm afraid of being seen. And so I started taking some steps to put myself out there a little bit more and use my voice and move all of this stuck energy that had been stagnating in my body because I didn't feel pretty and I didn't feel worthy of speaking up and using my voice. So that, you know, it's hard to say, yeah, you know, I could trace my skin clearing up exactly back to this thing. It's really hard to quantify that kind of feeling, but I will say that on a soul level, I feel so much better when I am being creative and expressing myself and putting myself out there. Another soul practice that goes hand in hand with clear skin, I found, is meditation, especially mantra-based meditation. And, you know, there's a pretty clear line for that and skin health. A lot of skin issues are linked to stress. So if you take, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes to meditate every day, you are significantly decreasing your stress levels, and that will show up on your skin. You will see a difference. I know that I definitely did. And then if you kind of want to go at it from a little bit more of a woo-woo perspective, traditional Chinese medicine actually links the lungs to skin issues. So if you're not breathing deep enough, or if you're not doing any sort of breath exercises, that could show up on your skin. So 10 minutes of deep breathing a day, or just being conscious of your breathing patterns and how you're breathing, like throughout the day, are you shallow? Are you taking in enough air? And focusing on breathing deeply, breathing in a relaxing pattern can actually clear your skin up, which I think is pretty amazing.
Absolutely. And I love how you incorporate a lot of, I guess you said it yourself, like woo-woo stuff on, through Ulum. Ulum, I'm sorry. Because I totally subscribe to that belief, and I totally think it's more of a mind-body-soul, you know, just kind of leveling everything out. I really do believe it's a combination of everything. It's not just one thing.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I feel like I was really compelled to include the soul practices in Ulum, because a lot of what I was experiencing when my skin was at its worst was issues with my worth. You know, in our society today, I think there is so much importance, especially for women, placed on how we look. And, you know, when you're dealing with skin issues and you don't feel pretty, sometimes you don't even feel worthy. You don't feel worth speaking up or using your voice or making yourself seen or participating in life fully. And that really signaled to me that, you know, it's not just me going through this. I think a lot of women, skincare actually does end up being a soul issue, something that you have to work through on a soul level, on an emotional level, on a mental level, to find your worth outside of your appearance. And that's really important to me now.
I love that. I totally agree. So I also want to chat a little bit more about your newly released ebook, Heal Your Skin with Herbs, Plants, Flowers, and Foods, A Guide to Natural Skincare Inside and Out. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about the inspiration for that and what we can expect from it?
Yes. Yeah, so I released this ebook about a week ago, and it's totally free. I had been fielding a lot of requests from people on Instagram about, you know, here's what's wrong with my skin. What do you recommend I do? And I was spending so much of my time like DMing back and forth with people and ultimately giving them the same kind of suggestion. So I decided to kind of package all of this natural skincare wisdom I've accumulated over the past 3 years into an ebook. So Heal Your Skin with Herbs, Plants, Flowers, and Foods takes an inside and an outside approach to skincare. And there's a section for things that you can eat and incorporate into your diet that will actually help heal your skin internally. And then there's a section on natural skincare practices that you can use topically, like the Manuka honey and apple cider vinegar I was talking about earlier. And yeah, it ended up being a 26-page guide that covers, I think, 30 different natural remedies that you can use inside and out to clear your skin. And my favorite part of it is that there's an index at the end. So you can just scroll through to the last page, pinpoint your specific skin issues, whether it's dry skin or something more serious like psoriasis or eczema, and then find the natural remedies that correspond with that issue.
That sounds incredibly helpful.
I think it is. I've been having a lot of great feedback to it so far. And I mean, it truly is just like a distilled book of everything that I have tried and found success with. So I know that other people can have success with these things too, because it all comes from personal experience.
So with that being said, where do you typically go for your resources and to do your own personal research? Because I would imagine that it probably took a lot of work to create this ebook and to formulate, you know, these different beauty products.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did the research over a long period of time of trial and error when my skin was at its worst to now. But something that I found really helpful is looking into kind of older alternative healing systems like traditional Chinese medicine, For me, Ayurveda, which is the Indian modality of healing, which it's like the sister science to yoga, has had just a wealth of knowledge to pull from. And it's kind of this ancient wisdom that's sort of been forgotten in our Western world. So things like drinking a glass of hot lemon water every morning, that's an Ayurvedic approach to kind of clearing out your system from the inside, which can lead to clearer skin. So kind of researching these older remedies that maybe aren't as mainstream anymore has been a huge help. And I've had a few books about those different healing modalities that I reference. Another great resource for me has just been message boards. I'll like Google, you know, best cure for dermatitis or whatever, and I will find these message boards and comment threads on different articles and start talking to people. It's like the old, like early 2000s chat rooms and kind of connecting with other people across the world who are dealing with the same issues and seeing what has worked for them and trying those remedies. Facebook groups are also a really great way to connect with people who are dealing with issues similar to yours. You know, there are private groups for everything from, you know, acne, hormonal acne, dermatitis, psoriasis, and you can kind of crowdsource from there and see, okay, what feels good? What do I want to try now? Another resource for me has been looking up herbalists and books on herbs. And again, going back to that kind of ancient wisdom from Mother Nature and seeing which herbs are good for specific issues. Like for example, violet leaf is really moisturizing. So if you have dry skin, incorporating violet leaf into your diet through either tea or an herbal infusion can really help. And it's such an easy and cheap way to kind of remedy that problem. So I do a lot of flipping through books on herbs.
That's so interesting. And I love that you kind of source your information from a variety of resources, from everything from like what you just said, like Ayurveda to Facebook groups, kind of not, you know, sticking to one thing.
Yeah, I don't think any one thing has all of the answers. You know, we're such complex beings. And, you know, even what's worked for me is not necessarily going to work for somebody else. Like your body is your body and it's very unique, and it's going to react well to some things and not react well to other things. And I think if you source information from a bunch of different places and try it for yourself, that's really the only way to know.
Definitely. So where can everybody find your book, and can you give everybody your social media handles?
Yes. Yeah, so my book is on the homepage of my website, free for download, and that's theillum.com, theillum.com. And for social, you can find me on Instagram at theillum, again, theillum.
And before we wrap up, how did you come up with the name Illum?
I was trying so hard to come up with a name for a skincare brand that had to do with glowing or glowing from the inside out. I want, you know, and it's so hard. Everything's taken. And so I started playing with versions of illuminated, illuminate, and illume kind of came to me and stuck. I really liked it. I liked that it sounded a little bit like Illuminati, like a cult following kind of thing.
Totally.
I-L-L-U-U-M was literally the only spelling that wasn't taken for a .com, so it stuck.
Love that. I have one more question for you.
Sure.
And I ask everybody who comes on the podcast, what is your favorite flavor of kombucha?
Oh my goodness, I recently had a rose kombucha. I can't remember the brand that it was from, but I love anything that kind of tastes like an artisanal soap, like rose or violet. Ugh, lavender, those are my flavors.
I love lavender, but I've actually never had the rose one before. I'll have to keep my eye out for that one.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I totally appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me. I loved being here and chatting with you.